have been, by the way, Ralph has a super secret surprise for us that he's going to bring in about 15 minutes. Anybody have any idea what that's about?
Nope, but I'm going to love it.
Am I going to love it?
Probably.
Yep. Come on, guys. Hey, this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this. We have a thing called, it has a lot of names in radio. We call them drops. Some people call them sound bites. But it's the when I hit a button here on the control board and something plays, you know, you hear this. That's me hit the button. That's a...
Not
that's
interested.
A stop using...
Wow.
Someone did...
Oh, I get it now.
That's
you have your...
Right? We got a lot of them. So every year, as we start to think about looking back on the year that was, and that's where we're at right now in 2016, we think it's fun to compile our top 10 drops of the year. Now, before we get into it, there are a couple that didn't make it that it pains me. A couple of bonuses. Like we just talked to our friend RJ Bell, for instance.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
I mean, I love that.
I do too.
Did not make the top 10, I'm sorry to say. Here's another one that I fell in love with, but just missed.
I don't know. Ask Tori Spelling's mom.
I mean, come on with Petra's with that. And I have to tell you, I think I do a pretty good job of getting the drops on the air, but I blame myself for this one not being more popular and more used because I think it's magic and I blew it. And
that's, the Cobb salad on point.
I mean, that's another one that I really could have done more with that I didn't. But I think you'll be very happy with the list. If you're a Kevin and Bean lister, I think you'll recognize and enjoy all of these. It's time for the top drops of 2016.
Audio clips that we play on the show. Which one will be on top? No. Known as drops, which one will have a shot? This is top drops, top drops. This is top drops, this is top drops. Which one will be on top? Top drops, this is top drops, this is top drops. Which one will be on top?
The top drops of 2016.
That reminds me, I'm very much looking forward to the countdown of the top 10 Omar intros of the year because he does such excellent work back
will
there.
Will that
like
make it?
That, one. That might not make it, but I think a lot of them. The wonderful thing about compiling sound, and it really has taken over my whole life, I can no longer watch any video on the internet or watch anything on TV or listen to anything on the radio without listening for things that I can pull out for the show. But you never know where they're going to come from. This was a viral video, number 10, from a woman who got into a car accident. And started the people started arguing with one another. And one of the ladies said something that was so funny that we've really enjoyed a lot. And it comes in at number 10 this year.
You see that? You see how white people do?
I mean, really, it's just it's so useful in so many ways, isn't it?
This is Top Drops.
Number 9 of the Top Drops of 2016. I think Vin Scully is on the phone right now. And Ally McKay must have said something that really, really disappointed Vin.
Oh, my gosh. No.
I mean,
oh,
really?
Oh, Vin.
How are you? Speaking of Allie, by the way, she contributed a lot of great sound to the show this year, dear. And she shows up at number 8.
And now, a breaking news bulletin. Come on.
Well done.
This is Top Drops.
Number 7 comes from the great Jiminy Glick. And how many times has he asked this question about something that has been going on this show?
Why do some people tune out?
I mean, really?
This is
that is a great
so
question. The next president of the United States of America is a New York businessman named Donald J.
What?
Trump. Yeah, it was in the news. That's how you missed it, Kevin. And he contributed something that we found very useful this year, no matter who we were talking about.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
How many people do you reckon this year, Kevin, we have accused of being the founder of ISIS?
50? 75? I don't know. A lot.
This is Todd Drops.
Number 5 is one that just squeaked in the last few weeks, but I think we're going to love it and enjoy it and use it forever, and I think you know who I'm talking about here. Yes, it's turtles having sex, ladies and gentlemen. Come in at number 5.
This is Top Drops.
We fell in love with a young lady in late October and early November who had grown up her whole life supporting a certain baseball team and was so grateful to be alive to see the Cubs win the World Series. Unfortunately, not everyone in her family was so lucky.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
In case you're wondering what happened to her brothers,
they're all dead now.
Yeah, so here we go.
That was
Dorothy.
This is Top Drops.
That was Dorothy at number 4. Hey, what was the name of our favorite Lakers player that we got from the, I think I want to say from the Cavaliers in the offseason?
Oh, Moz.
Moz.
Moz. Moz, we fell in love with before we ever saw him play in Los Angeles because of the commercial that he had done back home in Ohio. And he said that immortal phrase that comes in at number three.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
I mean, he really, how does he not have a career in Hollywood already?
Right?
That kind of. And by the way, from the same commercial, just as a bonus, if you want to give it 3B.
Now hiring both locations.
So that was also very great. counting down the top drops, 2016. Allie, you are back. You are back at number two with the most enthusiastic reading of a name I think anyone's ever heard.
Lady Gaga!
Is this the painful sound?
It's not good.
Is that the kiss countdown?
How did that happen that you were so thrilled with Lady Gaga?
We were trying to figure out who was going to be playing Super Bowl halftime, and we named everyone and couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
And then it just came to me, and wow, I was excited to share it.
You really
Some
were.
Some would say too excited.
Way too excited. This is
Top Drops. All right, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
The most popular soundbite of 2016 on The Kevin and Bean Show? You know it. You love it. You wouldn't want to live in a world without it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Ga-ga-ga.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm. Smell it.
Yeah! I don't.
Right?
No.
Right?
No.
Right?
No.
Don't forget, you're minutes away from yet more tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. We've got them for you starting at 9 a.m. today, all this week, up until 9 p.m. You can win them every hour. Details at krock.com. So, Allie.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. There was not a...
Hello?
We sounded like you were going to ask a question.
Can he not hear us?
Maybe not.
Oh, now we're back. That was weird. I think it was when I think I hit a button. I'm sorry. I apologize. I think I hit a button and I lost you.
So Allie went to the dentist.
Uh-huh. Here's the thing. I went to a new dentist, and my old dentist used to give you a pair of headphones, and then there was a TV on the ceiling. So he gave you headphones and a remote.
Genius.
You were set.
Yeah,
yeah, you're just wow. Yeah, you're just watching TV. There was no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And by pressure, of where to look. Because you're looking at the ceiling. You're watching TV.
Right.
I went to a new dentist. No TV.
Did you point that out first thing?
Absolutely. I was like, hey, where's the thing in the ceiling? Where do you look, Kevin? Do you look at the dentist or the hygienist that's scraping your teeth? And if you do, how long do you look him in the eyes? Do you find
the
something?
Whole time.
No.
I lock eyes.
See, you probably wink.
I lock eyes. A couple of winks.
No! See, it terrified me, thinking, oh, gosh, I just looked at him. She looked at me. Now what?
No,
oh, no.
Now you have to kiss is the answer.
I don't think...
I think I would close my eyes.
I put a poll up on my Twitter, and I said, serious question. Do you lock eyes with your dentist or hygienist when you're getting your teeth examined or cleaned? Oh.
Right?
No, it is not that kind of...
That's one of the options.
No.
All right.
And 11% said, of course. 32% said, my eyes are sealed shut. And then 57% said, look elsewhere, anywhere. So do you find somewhere on the ceiling and just focus on it? Are your eyes darting around? And do dentists and hygienists think you're a complete creep if you're looking at them?
That's why I'm glad you brought this topic up, because we all know what it's like to go to the dentist to be the patient. What's it like to be the other person? What's it like to be the dentist or the hygienist? What are they thinking about us? What do they wish we would do? Nope. Nope.
Well,
what is? Could be.
You know, you're right. In some cases.
You don't know.
Yeah.
They could be thinking that.
What is the appropriate behavior for the patient? So right now, I don't think we've ever done this before where we've asked for a specific occupation to call in, but we are looking for people who are dentists or hygienists right now at 1-800-520-1067. Help Allie know what to do. And we have some other questions for you, too, by the way. I think I keep my eyes closed, too, except when the dentist starts talking to me.
Yeah.
Because then I feel...
Don't
then
get
I feel
me
like,
started on that.
And why are they talking to us? We can't answer.
I feel like you're being rude if you're just sitting there in the chair with your eyes closed, because it makes it look like you're ignoring them or not paying attention to them. So I kind of open my eyes when they start talking just so they know that I'm awake and I hear
an alert.
And do you look at them in the eye?
I feel like he does.
You do, don't you?
No, I think you do. When somebody's talking to you.
The Louisiana creeper comes out.
I think in any circumstance, if somebody is talking to you, you look them in the eye,
but
don't you?
But you're so close to the dentist or the hygienist.
That's also very awkward.
You're so, I mean, you're not even a foot away in most cases.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
the whole experience is awkward.
You don't wink, Kevin. That is the last thing you should do.
And that's what always comes to my mind first. What's the worst thing I could do right now? Wink. Done.
All right. So dentists and hygienists, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll get this all worked out so we all know what's appropriate going forward. When we take your calls next on K-Rock.
Hey!
I don't feel like that was the right time. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:37.
Before we go to these calls with dentists and hygienists, and Dr. Mike, you please hang on. We're going to close with you because if what you're saying is true, it's going to change the way forever we think about going to the dentist. Allie, what's the setup for folks just joining us here on this topic?
So I went to a new dentist, and I would usually go to a dentist that had a TV on the roof of the ceiling, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I had somewhere to look. This new dentist didn't have it. So then, oh, God, do I look right at the dentist? Do I look somewhere else in the room? Where do I look? Because I don't want to creep out my new hygienist. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what I did because I just started
did
looking.
Did you lock eyes?
I did. And then I was like, And then
did
I started.
Did you just, like, look
yes,
away?
Yes, I looked away really quick, and I can tell I tensed up. And I thought, these poor people must have creepy people like Bean all the time just staring at them.
Right?
Well, I don't know why you have to pick me out. I don't
that.
Yeah. Let's talk to Maurice. She's on line 4 in Lake Forest. She is a dentist. She'll be first up on this topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maurice, thank you so much for calling in. So what do you want to see your patients doing when they're in the chair with their eyes?
I want to see them close their eyes because I hate it when they lock eyes with me. It makes me sick.
Really? It makes you sick?
Yes.
So,
you know, when I'm the patient, you know, when my friends are working on me, I always close my eyes because I know how uncomfortable it is when someone's staring into my eyes. So, you know, even though if they're my close friends, I'll just close my eyes. It just makes me feel more comfortable.
Okay, so why do you suppose the patients are staring at you?
They're curious. Maybe they like my mascara. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I have nice eyes, you know, I think so. But honestly, I think they're just curious or they're...
Maybe they're looking for some type of tenseness in your face.
Like a reaction.
Like an uh-oh moment.
Yes, like with flight attendants. You automatically stare at them if there's turbulence.
Maybe. I've never looked at a flight attendant during turbulence. I just kind of, you know, I kind of enjoy the turbulence, believe it or not. But
okay.
What? Right.
Well, you're a weirdo. That's a whole other topic. That's a whole other topic we don't have time for.
All right, Maurice. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go up to L.A. Line 3, please. Let's get Adam on. He is also a dentist. Adam, what's your verdict on patients, whether they close their eyes, stare at you, look away? What should they do?
For them to close their eyes.
Oh, you're cutting in and out, unfortunately.
It makes my job because you got things flying all over the place, instruments here and.
Adam, I'm sorry, we can't hear you. Your phone's cutting in and out. But close the eyes was his answer.
All right, let's go to Hollywood Line 5. This is going to be Amanda. She's a hygienist.
All right, hi Amanda.
Hi,
Kevin.
Hi. I'm a hygienist, and I think it's really creepy when patients look at me in the eye.
Okay, so does that happen a lot?
Not as much as you would think, but we have TVs in our office, but sometimes, like, patients just choose to stare right at my face, and I try not to look, but there's moments where our eyes lock, and it just gets really awkward, and I feel like I can't have a conversation with them after because it's too weird.
All right, Amanda, I'm glad you brought up conversation. What's the deal with dentists and hygienists who ask you questions when you can't possibly respond because you've got your mouth full of tools?
I try not to ask so many questions. I just try and give, like, a, are you okay? And then if they do, like, a uh-huh, while they're, like, gagging on spit, then I think they're okay.
That's so sexy.
Oh, no, please don't.
That's not
okay.
What she...
That's not what she meant.
Amanda, while you're talking about gagging on spit, what leads a person into being a dental hygienist? What was it about the job that attracted you?
Well, I was a dental assistant at first, and I just kind of had done that just to go to school and do something. Mm-hmm. And then over time, I was like, oh, well, I'm already here, so might as well go back to school and become get something that gets paid more. But right. I like once you get involved in it and everything, it's kind of interesting.
Okay. All right. Good enough. We appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Let's go to Daniel, also a hygienist. He's on line 8. He's in Cyprus. He's got a little bit of a different strategy.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Hey, you know what? I just love locking eyes with my patients every single day.
Oh, you don't?
That's my favorite thing in the world.
So if people are staring right at your eyes, you lock eyes with them actively.
Absolutely. The best part is, you know, I'm wearing my mask because I have no idea what I'm doing under my mask with my mouth.
I
so it's hilarious.
Don't let this.
What are you doing underneath your mask?
No. Exactly. Oh, I'm mouthing words. I'm smiling. I'm laughing at them. They have no idea because all they can see is my eyes.
Oh, my God. I'm now terrified.
Yeah, you should be terrified.
The only way you can make it worse is if you wear a clown mask.
Daniel,
you
fucking spit and laughing the whole time.
All right, two more. Let's go to Freddie.
He's got a dental assistant. He had a dental boner, I'm pretty sure.
Freddie's in Long Beach. He's on line 2. He's a dental assistant. Let's see what he's got.
Hey, Freddie.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you know, what do you do? Do you want patients to stare at you or not?
Usually when patients stare at us, either left or right, because doctors on one side and the dentist is on the other side, mm-hmm. we usually know that they're scared.
Oh, that's a sign of being scared. What about locking eyes, though? Because I can see looking at you if you're scared, but if you lock...
Yeah, well, the locking will let us know that they're scared.
They're scared.
We have to reassure them that everything's under control, pretty much go over the treatment all over again, even though we've been through it like so many times already.
Wow, that would be super annoying if I was just looking at you and I wasn't scared, though. Right? He keeps explaining
right?
it. I get it. I'm not an idiot. I get it. Stop
I'm
telling me.
I'm just a creep.
I'm just a creep. Let me creep on you.
But a look is better than getting your hand squeezed.
Oh, does that happen sometimes? Patients will squeeze your hand?
Again, I don't think
sometimes patients want to hold your hand and they'll grip and squeeze.
Patients don't want to hold your hand. Really?
Hey, Freddie, I got a question for you that I just thought of. Some of this anesthesia that you use, is it the truth serum-y, the truth serum-y type? Is that the right word?
I mean,
the
we know what you mean. Yeah. We know what you mean.
Do you ever get patients who just talk when they're on that gas and they say inappropriate things?
Yeah, that usually happens with the OS, the oral surgeon. He's the one that gets them all giddy, you know, and usually when they wake up, they're all talking about some conversation they had like 2-3 days ago.
Wow.
And they think that they're with that person.
And you guys take video of that, right? And you've got
a big archive,
right?
I hope you got a YouTube channel, man. All right, Freddie, thank you for the call, sir. Let's close with Mike. He is a dentist, and he is on line 1, and I think he's going to blow our minds.
All right. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I want to give you guys props and show appreciation for let us bag on patients for once. But honestly, we're so used to getting grilled on Yelp and everything else.
All right.
So
this is your chance.
Yeah, you guys have a very difficult job, so we appreciate that you're there to do it.
Cool. So we give our patients dark sunglasses, and they get to watch TV. And for eye protection, close your eyes. But there's so many things to share with you, but the one that I knew you'd get a kick out of is we can generally tell when a patient has had oral sex with a male the night before because they get bruises on their palate. Much like Michael Phelps in the Olympics, like he saw those bruises on his back.
That was from cupping. Bruises the mouth that much?
It bruises the palate nowhere near that much. Imagine that of tiny little dots.
Maybe they got Captain Crunch or something. Not literally the captain, but like the cereal.
It's petechia, which is just tiny little bruises from the suction that's created from performing oral sex. And we have a secret Facebook group page with about 15,000 dentists.
God.
And all we do is post pictures of patients with...
This is frightening.
You're posting pictures of patients' mouths that you know have done this?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, we don't reveal their names or anything. It's just the
palate. Oh, well, then that's okay.
And we just... We just laugh all day.
My God.
Mike, you're a...
No idea.
You're twisted.
Are you real? Are you really a dentist?
You can't be.
I am real, and unfortunately, the worst thing that ever happened is that one of my cousins was my patient, and I saw her.
Night, everyone.
Nope. And every time your mom says, how about some free dental care, you're like, no, mom, no.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Doing a poll? Poll over there?
By the way, this is very troubling news. Allie, you heard from a guy who's married to a dental hygienist?
He called his wife, who's a hygienist, after he heard caller Mike say that dentists and hygienists can tell if you have given oral.
Right.
While you're at the dentist.
Right.
Yeah. And, I'm freaked out now.
And
she said, yep, verified it.
Verified. That's a thing.
I am terrified. Like, what if your dad was your dentist?
What?
How awful.
That doesn't apply to a lot of people.
That's a pretty unique situation. I can't operate on this patient. It's my child.
But she's been putting in work.
That's a thing, though, that dentists can tell. Now I know why they all look at me so weird. Wait, what? What? Hey, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning.
Louisiana Creeper. What's going on? I need a new jingle.
Oh, God.
Your chance to ask the mayor. Mayor Eric Garcetti joins us in studio from the city of Los Angeles, coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on K-Rock. But first, our friend Ralph Garman is on vacation this week back home in Philadelphia. And he's a goddamn national treasure. Am I right?
Yeah.
He's so great on this show and has been for so long. But when he's gone, I'm happy to say it's great that we've got a backstop. We've got a reliever. We've got somebody to step up and pitch in when needed. And
who's almost as good.
Wow. Almost as good. Yeah. I mean, this is what you want. You know, you're running an NFL team. You know, your quarterback goes down. You want a great backup in the wings who's ready to go, ready to jump in minute one and get the job done.
He's our Garoppolo, really.
He is our Garoppolo. That's why I feel like we're very lucky to have Beer Mug, because it's time to present for you another edition of Beer Mug Theater.
Kevin Dan Bean proudly present the greatest comic actor of our time, Beer Mug, in Beer Mug Theater.
Kevin, you have a story from us from northeastern Turkey. What's going on?
Doctors found that three of a man's arteries were 90% blocked, and he was immediately rushed into surgery for a four-hour operation.
Okay. Oh, no.
4 hours. During that 4 hours, this patient's heart stopped 40 times.
What?
40. 40 times his heart stopped.
Man, is a guy who's ready to go home.
He's really trying to end it all. And they will not allow it.
No.
So he did surgery, and then his heart stopped a bunch. And then they took his heart out, and some guy was doing it with his hand,
massaging it. Yeah,
yeah. And then they put it back in, and they did another. I mean, this is insane.
Wow.
Just let the guy go.
Look, I'm not suggesting you give up on a patient, but once his heart is stopped for the 20th time, don't you just go, it's too far, he's too far gone? Because the damage from all of that, you'd think, would be significant as well. Dr. Aruk Alper Onk, again in Turkey, who led the surgical team, said he had never seen a case like it in more than 500 operations. We opened his chest at the intensive care unit because we were afraid he would not live to make it into surgery. His heart stopped more than 40 times. We did electroshock to the heart. In the meantime, we realized that the drainage was pressing on the heart was causing bleeding. We had to remove it and clean the blood around the heart. The heart stopped and worked again in short periods of 20 to 30 seconds. This is like banging on a light bulb that keeps going off. Just trying to get it to go back on.
It's a little more complex than that.
It sounds like that's exactly what it is.
We took the heart in our hands and continued massaging it. It just goes on and on 40 times.
Who bangs on a light bulb?
It's like banging on a light bulb.
Is that not a thing?
No.
Is this Bean's bad example?
Yes.
Maybe you unscrew it a little, screw back in, but you don't bang on it. Never.
We are delighted to welcome Bekar Demirtas, who is 66 years old and there, but for the grace of God, is alive to talk to us on the phone. And Mr. Demirtas joins us on the phone right now from Turkey. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine, but how are you doing? You've been through quite an ordeal in that surgery.
Oh, it's a very rough time for me, but I was luckily had good doctors to bang my heart like a light bulb to get me back to life.
That's a thing that happens in Turkey, right? You bang a light bulb if it goes out?
Sure, that's the common process for a lot of things to get fixed around Turkey. Just bang it and it'll work again.
Okay. So your heart stopped more than 40 times. You must have been amazed when you came out of surgery to hear what your doctors had been through just to keep you alive.
Yes, they had to massage my heart. They about 40 times, and I don't know if the people, the nurses and the medical staff around the hospital said that I woke up singing folk songs. But
That happened?
I'm a little out of sorts, so I don't remember myself singing folk songs. In fact, I don't even like folk music, but that's what they said.
That's weird.
Oh, no. Bakir?
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You are never going to keep me down. He drinks a whiskey drink. He drinks a vodka drink. He drinks a lager drink. He drinks a cider drink.
Oh. What just happened?
Quite the folk song.
Wow. It's a good choice for a folk song.
Chumbawamba.
How about that? That's a surprise.
Yes, but, you know, they realized that I had a major problem when they took me in after bypass surgery.
Right.
Uh-huh. But I think everything would be...
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We're losing him again.
Bakir? I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you really want. I want to really, really win on this. You can say,
Do you know the Spice Girls, Bakir?
Oh, I love them. They are really big in Turkey.
I see.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, this is amazing. You know, you're out of the hospital, but you're still having so many heart problems. I would have thought they would have fixed this by now.
Yeah, but, you know, it'll stay with me, they said, for the
Oh, no.
Bakir, I feel like we're losing him.
I'm terrible. Too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
Down he goes again.
The old hall in Detroit, they played in the Maritime Sailors Cathedral.
No talking.
No, sir. 29 time treats man on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
May you live forever, sir.
That was the crappy folk song I guess they were talking about.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
You have been witness to the greatest comic performer of our time with Beer Mug Theater.
Wow, return of the hands of fury, you guys. It's been a long time.
We need some practice.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 6:40 now on a Monday morning. Bean is a racist.
Right. I'm not a racist, guys.
What's next?
First of all, how could I be a racist? I went to see Birth of a Nation yesterday, so clearly I'm not a racist. Second of all, so we're having a conversation last week, and this is why we asked our African-American listeners. I want to thank Tamara and Gregory and Elon and Rod and Dee, who are all on hold, and they are going to be the jury here. We're going to be able to go to them to get a ruling on this because I've been having a conversation in my house over the past couple of weeks that we're at a stalemate, my wife and I, and we need somebody to break the tie.
I'm on your wife's side.
Yeah. You don't even know what the
doesn't
topic
matter
is yet, Kevin.
Doesn't matter.
It's a conversation. You don't like black people and she does?
No, that's not what it is at all.
It sounds racist.
It's not racist. I love black people. I just moved to a city that is mostly black. That's how much I love black people. And I plan to have
lots of... Did you move there because it's mostly black?
That was one of the reasons, yes.
Let's move on. You are digging here.
Truthfully, that was one of the reasons.
It's just not possible.
It is possible because I was... Look, I loved Seattle for all those years, but it was so painfully white.
So that are you!
But I wanted something different. And I said, I'm moving to a great American city that has mostly black people. So that's what I'm doing. So I plan to have tons of black friends, okay?
I think you're terrific.
Is that your plan, really?
Yes.
Well, you better start getting pre-disappointed because you're not having a lot of friends of any color.
That's true.
I'm going to have so much winning at my house with black people over at my house all the time. So that's why this conversation come up is because there's going to be lots of black people in my house. Okay, so Donna and I moved to Seattle, and then when you move, you have to make a decision about what things you're going to bring with you and what things are going to go in the new house. And Donna's got a design plan of how she wants it to look.
Sure.
So the rub is my naked OJ photo. Now, I have a photograph that is it's a photo taken from the 1970s when OJ Simpson, by the way, kids, used to be a professional football player before he was a murderer. So it's a photograph of him that was quite famous. It was published in Life magazine, and it's him standing in a locker room. In 1972, he's playing for the Bills, and he's naked, okay? OJ's naked in the photo.
Right.
And that's a photo that I've hung on the wall in my house in Seattle for years and years.
And don't think photo like 4x6 type thing.
I think it's 11x14, maybe.
There you go.
The photo.
The photo.
It's good and offensive. I mean, it's a good offensive size.
Right. It's a big offensive size.
Wait,
right,
exactly. Why is it offensive? It's a photograph by a well-respected photographer named Harry Benson.
Who cares who took the picture?
Because it's a work of art. That's why. Because it's a work of art.
Penis again? Are you talking about the picture?
I'm talking about the photographer. Okay. So I says to my wife, I says, I love that OJ photo, and I want to bring it with us to New Orleans.
How are you going to work this into your scheme?
But what's your plan of all the black friends coming in?
That's my point, is I don't think there's anything racist about it.
No.
I love that photo because it's a great photo. It's of a famous, famous American. It's taken by a famous photographer, and I think it's a work of art. And she says...
Oh, and penis.
And she says, when your black friends come over, they're going to see that as racist, that you have OJ Simpson on the wall naked. And I says to her, I says, there's nothing racist about it. And that's why we're at loggerheads right now. And that's why I need the help from the Kevin Bean African American listeners. Because I don't see anything racist about having a photograph of naked OJ on my wall. Am I wrong? Let's hear from Whitey first. Ralph, Kevin, Allie, what do you guys think?
Well, if we're just accepting the creepy, right? We're just accepting.
I'm not.
You're not accepting. You're not going to dismiss that? Because then we have to dismiss the fact that he's got a giant picture of a nude man on his wall.
Nude is the problem.
Obviously, but I think we have to get past that to get right to the racism. We don't have time to deal with all of Bean's problems.
Okay? Yeah, we're not talking. The question isn't, are people going to be offended by the nudity? Because I don't care about those people. That's their problem. Okay, nudity can be art. The question
is not a murderer in a locker room with his junk hanging out. This isn't a posed picture on a beach. Okay, this is a snapshot of a nude guy in a locker room, a black athlete that you, Whitey, have up on your wall. It's weird already that you're admiring this nude, naked black man's body. But for you being super Whitey, then having a black nude man on your wall, there's something.
It lends itself to the hypersexualization of black men throughout
history. The black buck thing, the Mandingo thing. Yep. It definitely plays into that and is absolutely racist.
So can we put it aside?
I think we got to fold it in.
Okay, fold
it. Like Ali's saying, you have to fold in the sexualization of black men and the physicality of their bodies.
And there's a lot to fold.
That has been sort of an institutionalized racism regarding their physicality over the years. And then when you have giant geeky white boy putting that up on his wall, absolutely.
All right, okay. It's time for a scientific survey, I say.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
All right. African-American listeners only, you tell us, racist or not racist, you have heard the evidence. Tamora is up first. She's on line one. She is in Van Nuys, and we thank you so much for calling and for holding on so long, Tamora. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you today?
Very good, thanks.
Doing great. We need your help, though. I've got black friends coming over, I hope. Will they be offended? Do you think it's racist if I have a naked OJ photo on my wall?
Well, number one, it would only be offensive if it was actually some type of orange juice dispenser, since it isn't, not racist. Number two, let's be real, Bean. You're only going to have two people coming over that's African-American, and one of them may be the UPS guy.
So I'm not sure how to put this down.
I think your vote was not racist, right, Tamora?
It won't be racist.
Not racist, but delusional, I think, with an action risk.
All right, Tamora. Thank you so much.
I think it's racist for Bean to say, I'm going to have lots of black friends.
Yeah,
that's
really
already
am,
weird
though.
And
yeah.
racist.
I really am, though.
I have black neighbors. It's just a question of, getting out of there and saying hi.
Yeah, stop putting your badge on like that makes you somebody.
I was saying.
I know lots of black people. That's like the go-to racist line, right? That's what every racist says. I've got lots of black friends.
Plus, you also said it's just a matter of me getting out of my house and going over and saying hi, which will never happen.
I've been very busy so far.
All right,
let's go to Gregory. He's up next. He's in line, L.A., please, line two. Hey, Gregory.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Ralph.
Gregory.
Racist or not racist? Naked OJ on my wall.
Gotta be racist, Bean.
Gotta be.
Is a racist Bean? Is a racist Bean? Is a racist? Oh, yeah.
Gregory? Enlighten me, sir.
Well, it's definitely off the chain as far as creepy facts.
Right.
But as far as the racist thing, how many white people do you have on your wall?
Oh, good. Yeah,
how many nude white men on your wall, Bean?
Exactly, Bean.
I don't think I own any photos.
It sounds racist.
I don't think I own any photos of Waking Nightmare. So it's just because it's the only naked photo I have, it's racist because that person happens to be black?
Possibly, Beam.
Yeah.
I mean, if I've got white guys on my wall, all white guys on my in my, you know, pizzeria, then...
Right. I would like to eat pizza there.
All right, we are tied at 1-1.
When you make your own pizzeria, you can put whoever the hell you want up on the wall. As long as it's South Pizzeria, it's going to be my uncles, my brothers, my... Right.
Let's go to Elon, right, please. Corona, line 3, he's up next. Hi, Elon, welcome to the show. We're unfortunately almost running out of time. What's your verdict, racist or not racist?
It's Elon, not Elon, and it's not racist. OJ said it himself, not black.
Oh, he did say, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
Didn't see that one coming. Good.
That is true.
Oh, all right. Logic. Yeah. Not racist. So we're 2-1.
If there was an actual black guy, he's saying it would be racist, but it's not because it's OJ. I see.
Okay. Let's go to Rod, very appropriately named for this discussion. He's in L.A. He's on line 4.
The worst.
I'm just saying.
Hey, Rod.
Hey, well, obviously, you know, because of my name, I can't possibly consider that to be racist.
Ladies and gentlemen, not racist.
Yeah!
3 out of 5, ladies and gentlemen. I could hang the OJ on the wall. Thanks, guys.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
With Memorial Day weekend coming up, many people will be taking to the skies once again. Air travel is at an all-time high, by the way. I know I said this last time we talked about the TSA, but when was the last time you were on a plane that had even one empty seat?
It's been a while.
Been a while, right?
Been a while, yeah.
Well, the TSA, as you know, is having a lot of getting a lot of bad press because of how long the lines are at the airport. So they're trying some new things around the country. Here's an article.
They're hiring more people?
Well, they're working on that.
Oh, absolutely.
But here's what they're doing to make the travelers forget the misery that they're in standing in line for 2 or 3 hours at a time. Is they're trying to make it fun to go to the airport, Kevin. At the airport in Seattle and in Atlanta, they are using musicians. They have musical performers that are there. Now, I don't know if they've got people strolling up and down the line, playing like in an Italian restaurant or how it's working, but they think music will make people feel better. Northern Kentucky International Airport, which, of course, serves what city, Kevin?
Northern Kentucky.
Cincinnati, Ohio, is using therapy horses in their airport.
Therapy horses.
Because I like that.
Who can be sad if there's a pony around?
Yes. What about just speeding up the process?
No. Oh. Go to San Diego. The international airport there is sending in clowns. They have clowns at the airport. Because that's going to cheer people up, right? Everybody loves clowns, right?
I don't think everybody loves clowns.
Well, let's find out how the program works. We asked Dave, who could we speak to? And I don't think we got anyone from the TSA, but we do have Juggles the Clown, who joins us from San Diego on the phone right now.
I think it's Jangles.
It's Jangles.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Jangles. How are you?
Oh, go F yourself.
I apologize. That was my mistake, sir. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Well, we're a little confused as to how you make it better to go to the airport and wait on a long TSA line.
How do I make it better? Ah, just like that.
Just playing that horn?
Yeah.
But, Jangles, you're aware that a lot of people are not calmed down by clowns. In fact, the opposite is true. There are people who are terrified of clowns.
How can you be sad when there's a clown around? Hey, that carry-on looks a little oversized. Doesn't fit in the box. Ooh, the box.
Do you do, like, tricks for people in line? Are you standing right there as people go up to the TSA?
I do. I say, wow, looks like more than 3 ounces of liquid. Seltzer in the face.
Well, again... It's not fun for anyone to travel, and then having a clown put seltzer in their face is not going to cheer anyone up.
It is. It's refreshing. Everyone around you thinks it's awesome. Huh. Oh, you look a little hungry. Pie in the face.
Can you imagine?
You know, statistically speaking, air travel is still the safest, so you probably won't die.
Oh, that is not reassuring.
Hey, you have any room in your carry-on for this?
You mean what? Balloon animals, Jangles?
What's he making?
What are you making?
The guy's missing his flight.
I want to get on, but I can't wait. Can't wait to see what he makes.
It's a hat.
That's it?
He thinks to wear it when he goes in the plane. Oh, come here, I got a balloon hat. Everybody's happy then.
I got to be completely honest with you, Jiggles. This is a terrible idea.
Oh, not as bad as this one.
Are you? Is that what I...
Bangles. Come on.
What's going on?
I fear for what's happening.
Anyone?
Jangles.
Jangles is going through some stuff.
I didn't think I'd blow up the balloons to make the animals.
Minutes away from your tickets for WWE Monday Night Raw at Staples Center. That is fast approaching on October 3rd. Plus, you win those tickets and you qualify for a pair of ringside seats. That's coming up on K-Rock. I saw this list yesterday, guys, and I think we need to put this one in a time capsule for us and for our listeners. If they're ever having a bad day and they need something that's really going to cheer them up fast, this is a list that I think is going to do it.
All right.
It's a list on the internet that is little things that make you disproportionately happy. All right?
Little things that make you disproportionately happy.
For instance, driving through a long string of green lights in a row. That happens
that's
to you.
Not a little thing.
Yeah, that's huge. I love it.
That's the best thing ever.
Yes.
That happens to you, and you feel like you've just won the lottery.
Yes.
You can't believe how happy you are because you hit four green lights in a row. Because
that never happens.
Because it very rarely happens. All right, so keep that in mind. These are things for you to keep in mind when you're having a bad day that sometimes you get lucky. Sleeping on freshly cleaned sheets. Is there a better feeling?
Amen.
Right? Is there a better feeling than pulling back your blankets, your comforter, your duvet, whatever you've got, and getting in that bed and having sheets that have just been washed and put back on the bed?
You smell the downy and, it's so good.
Here's one for Omar. A great bowel movement. Man, are you walking tall out of that bathroom because you just delivered.
Omar and mugs.
Mugs, too. Elevator doors opening the moment you hit the button.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You just feel like a rock star.
Yeah.
You just feel like everything's like the universe has lined up for you.
Because, again, that never happens.
It just never happens, right?
I don't think the buttons in elevators even go to anywhere. I think they're just there so you feel
just
better by
up.
Hitting them.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. By the way, throw your own out if you've got them, by the way. And if you want to call, too, 1-800-520-1067. If you have one you want to add to this list of a little thing that makes you disproportionately so happy.
Going along with the fresh sheets, I'm not going to lie. When I put the fitted sheet on the right end first try, I am looking around my room wanting to high-five people. It is a great feeling. That's pathetic.
Well, I mean,
it feels good.
It's sad that there's no one there to high five.
I know.
But
it really
okay,
is.
If it makes you happy, that's great.
I tweet about it, though, when it happens.
That is a great feeling.
It is.
Peeling an egg in one peel.
Yes!
Because I got to tell you, I am terrible at hard-boiled eggs. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible. For whatever reason, I lose half the egg trying to get the shell off the egg. I don't know what the secret is
to that.
It's
not a Rubik's Cube. You just take the outer layer off.
Yeah, I know. But it can get dicey.
It can be very, very tough.
Yeah.
Kevin, this is one you'll hate, but it's one of the happiest things in the world when it happens to me, which is when a cat rubs its head along your leg. When a cat comes up and just purrs and just rubs up against your leg, it just feels like such a happy, happy moment. I love that so much. Here's one. When a cloud is shaped like something cool. Now, do you have that? Is that a
category
for you?
No, that's stupid.
Well,
Allie does.
My friend posted yesterday a cloud that looked like Conan O'Brien, and I got really happy.
Well, because you love Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, but this cloud really looked like him. I'll retweet it. It's good.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it.
Okay.
You're going to laugh at me, but on my recent road trip across country, I saw a cloud that looked exactly like the Hindenburg, and I thought
that made you so happy.
Because
of death.
Or any blimp, by the way. I mentioned the Hindenburg
because
that's the most famous blimp. But
sure.
It looked exactly like a blimp. But I thought you would say that all clouds kind of look like blimps. But this one really looked like the Hindenburg, and I was pretty. This is not me, but this is going to be for a lot of people. Taking the perfect selfie on the first try is one of those little moments that gives people a lot of joy.
Yeah, I look forward to that one day.
That'd be great.
When your rice comes out perfectly fluffy. How about that? Anyone cook?
I'm not a real chef. I don't.
All right.
If it's rice, I eat it. That's
I will say eggs over easy when they flip and the yolk doesn't break. Super happy.
Feels like a big moment for you.
Because I'm not good.
Let's take Robert Camarillo, please. He's line 4, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to add something to the list that we're going to now
save in our memory banks for when things are bad, when these things aren't happening, we can remember that sometimes these things do happen. Robert, what's yours?
No line at the In-N-Out Burger.
It's never happened.
But when it does, that one day, Kevin, it's going to be the happiest moment of your life.
Literally, it's never happened, though, so I don't know that it will. Has that happened to you, Robert?
It never happened.
Okay, great. It's a good example,
then. So we're just playing imaginary right now. That's what's happening?
Just thinking of things we'd like.
I thought these were supposed to be real.
Well, they are.
He's living in a fantasy world.
Right.
All right, here's a great one. Line two, please. West Covina, this is going to be Michelle. This is the happiest moment of your whole month when this happened. Hey, Michelle.
Hey, when a cop comes flying up behind you with their lights on and they go around you.
Oh,
yes.
And you're already, like, looking how you can pull over. Yeah. Oh, come on. And then he flies by you. That's good.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's good.
Line one, please. Pico Rivera, this is going to be Marco. Marco, what's that little thing that makes the whole day worthwhile?
Oh, when you break the seal, bro.
Yeah. I got to tell you,
oh my God.
When you break the seal, it's the best.
Wait, I feel like you don't want to break the seal.
Well, that's
then you're
because,
going all the time.
Right, but then the pain builds up, and then you need to break the seal. And then when you do, it's the best thing ever.
Oh, the best feeling, especially after a Weenie Rose concert.
Right. You waited through the whole concert? Strange.
You betcha.
All right. So that's noon to midnight. That's a long time to wait. Thank
that
you.
Is.
All right. Let's do one more. Let's make it Pat in Upland. On this list, by the way, on the internet, Pat is calling with the number one item, the most popular item in terms of little things that make your whole day. What is it, Pat?
How about putting on something you haven't put on in a while and finding some money in the pocket.
Right.
Yes.
You find money in your pocket that you didn't know you had. It's like free cash.
Even like $5. You are
just
so
a,
stoked.
Even $1.
Yes.
$5 in your ski jacket or your boots. You're like, I'm rich.
Yes.
It is Friday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Don't forget, you can always get in touch with the show lots of different ways, including texting us anytime if you want to share a nugget of wisdom with us, the number 2, K-R-O-Q. This story out of Scandinavia is a little bit of a surprise, Allie. I'm always concerned when animals show up in places they're not supposed to be.
Right.
And this is that fish that has become fairly well known. You see it from time to time on the internet. I think it's on the internet. I think it's pronounced the pacu. Mm-hmm. The pacu fish, it's a South American fish. And the reason it is famous, the reason we know about it, is it's because the one that every once in a while you'll see, it bites a guy's testicles off. It's a huge fish, by the way. It can grow to as much as 55 pounds.
Oh, my God.
So a fish with teeth of that size can do some serious damage. Again, it's a South American fish, but it has been found in Scandinavia, in the waters between Sweden and Denmark. Fish experts are warning locals to stay aware. Make sure if you're going in the water, you wear a bathing suit, for instance, is good advice. How does something like that happen? I mean,
somebody had to bring it there, right?
I hope so, because there's a bigger problem afoot if South American fish are migrating to Scandinavia.
And if people aren't aware of this fish, literal human teeth.
Yes.
It looks like you could put braces on these bad boys.
Yes,
it is terrifying.
Is. So we asked Dave to get us a fish expert, and believe it or not, from the National History Museum in Denmark, Mr. Henrik Carl joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Carl, thanks so much for coming on, sir.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on your radio program.
Well, I appreciate that, especially with the time difference. I know we're keeping you late there at work, but
it's okay, because I'm already at work hard doing my work for much, so I am doing it. And he's happy now to be awaking, talking to you now, sir. Oh,
nice.
Well, you're very sweet, very kind. So what's
thank you.
So what's the what's
very
the...
sweet? That makes me feel good inside.
Good. Well, good. I'm glad. What's the thought here among fish experts about how this pacu ended up in your part of the world?
Well, it's not uncommon for people to have the red-bellied pacu in their own fish tanks, you see.
Uh-huh.
And they are the cousin of the piranha, you see.
Ooh.
And many people like to have exotic fish in a tank of their own collection of fish. And often, sometimes, people will say, oh, I'm bored with this hobby. And so now I will empty the tank, you know, into the nearest freshwater body, like stream or a lake or something. And that fish then, of course, is living then where it should not be living.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be of great concern to people like you who monitor the fish because you just want to see native species in the waters around Sweden and Denmark.
Yes, you don't want to upset the ecosystem wherever it is that you put this wild animal. Mm-hmm. It can change radically the situation. And so what we like to do is make sure that it is in fact a anomaly, as we say in science, and not a migration of species or a induction of a new type of animal into the ecosystem.
So why do we think that this fish bites testicles?
Well, it's not that the testicle is the regular diet for the red belly pacu. The teeth it has, the strange-looking human teeth-like teeth, are mainly to crush fruits and nuts, is what it likes to eat so much. And so it has, you know, it has teeth so it can crush nuts, and sometimes the nuts are yours, you know? That's
the way
it is.
I read a quote that said they bite because they're hungry, and testicles sit nicely in their mouth.
Yeah, well, if you're a nut eater, your nature is to eat the nuts.
It's true.
You can't go wrong with the nuts of the human, the human nuts.
Oof.
Now, I'm here in the sound off of Oresund, where this small version of the fish was found.
Uh-huh.
It was just 8 inches long.
Wait, you're in the water right now?
Yeah, we're looking now to see if we can find any other examples of the red-bellied pacu.
Okay.
Okay, be careful.
Well, I am a scientist. I don't have to. You tell me be careful. I'll tell you be careful.
Okay.
Are you wearing swimming trunks, though?
I don't like swimming trunks so much. Because I am Swedish, and so we like, you know, the sauna, and we like to be in the nude when we're doing our bathing and regular eating.
This is very tense right now.
I have a fishing net in one hand, and my testicles are just dangling.
Please get out of the water, would you, Carl?
I am a professional science-type person. I know what things to do and not to do.
Right, but the fish doesn't know that.
I am perfectly safe, and because I am well-versed in the ways of the fish.
Okay.
And so if I am just, you know, thigh deep in the water.
Okay, we're going to let you go then. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, thanks for coming on.
Deliciously in the surface of the water. Just sort of bobbing and teasing there on the surface of the water.
Oh, please stop.
It doesn't mean that I am in any way dangerous.
No. Okay, you're making us very nervous.
I am fine. I am just here looking for fish.
And have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Here, fishy, here at Belly the Paco.
We'll see you later, sir.
Where are you, my little friend? Doesn't look like there's any more here. I think we're all safe.
Oh, I'm so relieved.
Well, have a good weekend.
Okay, you too. Nice. Oh, no. Terrible. I'm so close to getting off the phone. He is going for it. Wow. Mr. Carl?
He must be huge.
I should have done things differently, I think.
You guys ready for me to make you guess?
Yes!
B-Mix's guess, yeah!
Ooh, ooh!
B-Mix's guess, yeah!
Who gets penis slapped?
He is a dick!
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya!
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's guess!
Yes!
I have been looking forward to this moment since Christmas Day when I first saw the article. It's the annual release from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, their database of American emergency room visits for the year just passed. 2015, ladies and gentlemen, once again was a banner year for Americans getting things stuck in their butts.
USA!
I thought it would make a fun Bead Makes Us Guess to go around the room a few times and see if you can guess the items that were pulled from Americans' rectums in 2015.
Put a bumblebee in your butt.
Exactly. So just to give you a moment to think about that, use your imagination, and then as usual, we will start with Kevin. Kevin, what item is on this list
once again, from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission that was pulled out of a person's butt in an American emergency room in 2015.
Xbox One.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
I am sorry. If that is really your guess,
it would be impressive, though, right?
It would be.
I am sorry. There were
no Xbox One in your butt.
Yeah, why is it Boogie in Your Butt, our theme song for this? Nice effort, though, Kevin. Right. But no, I'm sorry. No Xbox One. Ralph, I believe you have the next guest.
Well, the first thing that springs to mind, the most obvious, would be sex toy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Lots of dildos, homemade dildos and otherwise, and sex toys. Yes, of course. That's an easy point, but we'll give it to you, Allie.
Where is it? Where is it on the list?
They're not ranked.
I quit.
They're not ranked.
A bottle of some sort?
Yes, yeah, bottles good definitely bottle. On the list.
Bottle,
yes.
Good.
There's a glass bottle, there are pill bottles, and there are also toy baby bottles all on the list.
Genre of bottles.
Yeah, well done.
Fruit.
I am not seeing any fruit, Kevin. I'm sorry. That would have made a lot of sense.
It was somebody positive that was a good one.
Somebody would have tried fruit. That with a...
I've done it.
What?
Kevin.
Is a cucumber a fruit?
I think it's a vegetable.
That's more of a vegetable, I guess.
All right. Okay.
It's just like a bigger picture, I guess. Those types of food items. I thought there would have been one as well, but not this year.
I will go now with my next guess, which will be coming forth from my mouth, and it is flashlight.
Yes, flashlight is on the list.
Wow.
Well done, Ralph.
Woo! Okay.
Put a flashlight in your butt.
Allie McKay.
What about like a toy, like an action figure?
Yes. Toy is actually, there are small toys and large toys. There are plastic squinky toys, as it is described here.
Squinky.
Yeah, you know, the squinky toy.
The squinky. It's fun for a girl in a butt.
So there's a toy shark on the list.
Sure.
Lots of toys. So well done.
Oh, good.
All right, Kevin, I don't believe you're on the board yet.
Dave's Oil Slick Rat.
No.
Oh,
fortunately, there are no dogs or any animals on the list.
But
no,
looks like it, right? We can all agree on that.
Like no, somebody's butt.
Yes.
All right, since Kevin's not playing, I'll take the turn.
Hey, I'm playing, man.
You're not playing. How about light bulb?
Let me see.
The famous light bulb.
You know what? I wonder if Americans resisted the urge of a light bulb this year.
Come on, USA. This is why we're falling behind in Japan.
I guarantee they did it in Japan this year.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Ralph. That's an excellent guess.
Thank you.
Light bulbs this year.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of things you might have around the home that could, if you fell on it, like a toothbrush or a hairbrush, a brush of some sort.
Toothbrush is on the list. Hairbrush is on the list. Toilet brush is on the list.
Oh.
So we got
brushes.
A whole family of brushes.
Wow.
All right, let's go around one more time, and then I'll reveal the others. Kevin, your final guess. Please.
Nunchucks.
Come on, Kevin.
Again, that would be awesome.
I am sorry, no nunchucks.
I hope I can pull an alley here and get a large grouping, a scope of genre of elements. I would like to say can. Like a hairspray can or a paint can or
aerosol cans are on the list, ladies and gentlemen.
Aerosol cans, I went with an aerosol can in my butt.
Ralph listed like seven things until he got it right.
No, but I was thinking
they're all cans.
Aerosol can. That's what I should have said. Aerosol can.
By the way, I don't want to say that this is right up Ralph's rectum, right up Ralph's area, but I don't think he missed.
I missed with light bulb.
All right, he's pretty good at this game. All right, Allie, the final guess, please.
By the way, I haven't missed. Just want to make that very clear.
Let's call Dr. Drew and tell her she hasn't missed.
I'm going to say maybe you're in your kitchen and you fall on, say, a rolling pin making a pie.
Let me see.
Pretty specific.
I'm just saying.
May have just missed.
What type of pie?
Apple.
I do not see a rolling pin. I'm so sorry.
That's
all right. Everyone.
A rolling pin?
I don't know. I was thinking
Have you ever seen a rolling pin?
Yes. That's why I was thinking it might be.
Why did you just say fire hydrant?
Here are some of the other ones on the list. I think everybody played well.
Thank you.
Plastic bags with pills, pill bottles, and things like that.
Drugs, of course. I'm thinking about the pleasurable elements of the ice.
No one came up with dice. No one came up
dice.
With
dice. Dice.
Crayons.
I'm going to roll a seven. Look at that. Oh, I crapped out.
There were crayons. There were coins. Did anyone say salt shaker? I don't think we heard salt shaker.
No.
I'm stuck on crapped out.
Oh,
so.
Good.
There's water gun. There's bathtub drain plug. Bobby pins. This one concerns me, a screwdriver.
Oh.
How about this, a wooden leg of a chair.
Like a rolling pin.
A magic marker, sure. A spiky rubber ball that lights up. That one is an actual sex toy, by the way. I think you covered that, Rob. And an egg.
Dog toy.
And an egg is the final one on the list.
Egg.
So America did a pretty good job, ladies and gentlemen. Again, courtesy of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. That's what you put up your butt last year. And this has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
We are your station for tickets to see Radiohead, this time at the Shrine. You know, by the way, this tour that Radiohead is on of the United States, and they played Lollapalooza over the weekend. They're only doing 9 cities, I think.
Wow.
Not a lot. Not a lot. So you're lucky to be in a place where you can actually go see Radiohead and just rave reviews for this tour.
And doing a lot of old songs that we haven't heard in decades.
Yeah.
So good.
A lot of people are surprised by that. Thought they left those songs behind. So good times out. You're going to go see that, I imagine, you guys, right?
Absolutely.
Radiohead?
I don't Radiohead.
Know. I don't know. Do I have a choice of seeing the 70-year-old granny rapper?
I don't know.
I might choose her.
Is she your new favorite?
She's my new favorite.
Lyrical... what is she called? Lyrical what?
Lively.
Lyrical Lively. Because mm-hmm. her real name is Pastor Lively. And she is just spreading the word of Jesus, you guys. Mm-hmm. She's hanging out, apparently, according to the legend that is now spread through
social media.
Bean doesn't
believe it already.
Well, it's a little too good to be true.
Tell people the story and then tell me your theory.
The story is there's a man named Keith Brown, a young African-American man, is in a parking lot of a gas station in Jackson, Mississippi. And a 74-year-old white woman comes up to him and says, hey, I want you to have my CD. I'm spreading the word about Jesus. And he puts it in his CD player in his car and loves it. He says, this woman, what did he say? She's spitting straight fire. So he tweets about it and puts a little video up of one of the songs, and it just catches on like wildfire. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people now are sharing this and liking this and spreading the word.
Now, what about that story makes you think it's not true?
Who gives away their CDs, first of all?
Dude, if you got a mixtape, you got to get out there, Bean. Right? Give it to anyone that'll listen.
Got to hustle.
Yes, Kevin. Hustle.
She, by the way, I mean, she is a very smart woman, a longtime pastor and theologian. And she's doing what the Bible tells her to do, which mm-hmm. is to spread the good word. And that's what she's doing.
But you think she's lying about this story.
I don't know.
You think she's a liar.
I'm not saying she's a liar. The story seems too great to be true. And I just wonder, they made it sound like they'd never met before, but they seem awfully close all of a sudden. And I just wonder if somehow...
Jesus brought them together, Bean.
No, I'm saying I wonder if he's already in her congregation, for instance. And
oh,
this
you think
is the
they
way
set
they decided,
this whole thing up?
That's what I'm wondering.
She's a woman of God.
Bean.
I know she is. Look,
if a 74-year-old woman came up to you at a gas station and said, listen to my new CD, you wouldn't take that and listen to it?
Of course I would. Of course.
Oh, but what if you were black? Is that what this is about, Bean?
Nothing to do with that at all. Unrelated. I will say this. It doesn't really matter whether it's real or not because she is spitting straight fire. Mm-hmm. And I now love the rapping granny. And I listened to this whole album over the weekend. And by the way, it's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple. It's on Tidal. It's everywhere.
It's on Tidal.
No, it's
favorite.
Not on Tidal. Yeah.
It is
it
on
really?
Tidal. Yep. Which also seemed a little suspicious to me, by the way, that this lady who's not just a do-it-yourself, I'm pressing these CDs at home to hand out
right.
in the neighborhood. Why is it on Tidal all of a sudden?
All right, that's a little strange.
I'm just saying.
Because it caught fire so much that people wanted to hear it. Tidal's not stupid. Of course they're going to put it up there.
Could we hear a little bit of Mrs.
Sure.
Lively doing some Christian rap, please?
This is a song called Clap Your Hands.
Satan, well, he comes around, invites me where I once was bound. I tell him just what I found, laugh with glee while he has to play, uh-huh.
Okay, now, I just want you to know that her catchphrase is uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's it.
The
That's the theme that runs through the
okay.
album, yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding his way is in his will. Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding the way, it's in his will, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
By the way, here's what I love. First of all, she really has great flow for a 74-year-old white lady.
Yeah.
First of all.
Take it easy with great flow.
No, she does.
For a 74-year-old white lady.
For a 74-year-old white lady.
It's not
she
bad.
Says really. And also, I love her the throwback music. Doesn't this sound like something you would have loved and listened to in about 1990, Allie? The music.
Yes?
It's throwback.
It is.
It is throwback, but it also sounds sort of cheapish. You know what
well,
I mean? Like,
I mean, it's certainly
not Dr. Dre.
It's not
I think
the
I need
standard.
To hear more.
Let's
okay.
Hear
yeah.
You
want to
hear I'm Wise?
Yeah, I
all
do.
Right.
One day I was not so smart. Didn't have Jesus in my heart. Then a storm tore me apart. The devil stabbed me with a fiery dart. Uh-huh.
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 Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I like this.
But now I'm wise.
Uh-huh. I love her.
It's like she only wrote like two sentences and she filled with uh-huh for the rest of the songs.
Lyrical Lively's rap album has received over a million listens on Facebook, by the way. She says she is not in it for the fortune and fame, and she texted this gentleman, Keith Brown, and said, I always pray, send me an escort of angels to send your word to the hurting, lost, lonely people, and that's you. So she is grateful that this man came into her life and shared her music with
and
the world.
And you are calling her a
I'm
liar.
Just saying, I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
This is called In Jesus' Name.
The devil thought that he had won, took the life of God's own son. He just thought that he was done. Just say Jesus, watch him run.
Uh-huh.
Nope.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there it is.
Uh-huh.
There it is.
That's not a, look, I mean, I know she's 70. All right, never mind.
No, go ahead.
Kevin,
that's not a good flow.
Kevin.
That isn't.
What's wrong with you?
That's not her best song.
Oh, it isn't. I'm sorry. Did I play
look,
the wrong
even,
one?
No, even Eminem's albums have one song that you go, eh, could have done without.
All right, let's listen
one.
To Prodigal Son. Ready?
His heart was filled with love and joy. All he could see was his wandering boy. He ran to him with welcome arms. So thankful he'd not been harmed.
See how she changed it
yep.
up? The other songs were uh-huh.
Yeah.
And this one's
See?
Okay.
Take it back, Kevin.
How about watch out?
Watch out, watch out. What do you hear? The sound of the end time drawing near. Open your eyes, open your ears. Something to tell you, and it's so clear. The gospel to the churches, can't you hear? The coming of the Lord is drawing near. Jesus is alive forevermore. He says, I'm calling, I'm at the door.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
Can you imagine if she was your pastor and she just insisted on rapping these songs in church?
Go every Sunday.
Be the best ever.
Hi, I'm Ron Howard. I'm the director of...
She's a mermaid. All my life, I've been waiting for someone, and when I find her, she's a fish. Nobody said love's perfect.
The cocoons are endangered.
Let's just go bust them out.
This is the crew of the Apollo 13. Houston, we have a problem.
This fight's as good as murder. First punch he lands, you'll sleep forever.
You gotta beat this! You gotta beat this from the inside out!
Demons, omens, codes, monks, ranks, rocks.
Madonna up the rocks.
Da Vinci.
Perhaps it is good to have a beautiful mind, but an even greater gift is to discover a beautiful heart.
Are you really saying the president can do something illegal?
I'm saying that when the president does it, that means it's not illegal.
I feel responsible for what happened.
Watching you win those races while I was fighting for my life, you were equally responsible for getting me back in the car.
Please welcome Ron Howard! I can't even. Beloved actor, successful producer, Academy Award-winning director Ron Howard, ladies and gentlemen, joins us in studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new film is called Inferno, opening everywhere this Friday. How are you, Mr. Howard?
I'm great. That little intro, that was spectacular. That was somebody's got some taste in terms of getting through there and finding the right lines. I'll tell you,
moving through quickly.
We have to find that person.
His name is Omar. He's our production guy.
Okay, Omar.
Yeah,
thank
he
you.
Puts that together. When you hear clips of those older movies, what comes
comes back to your mind? Is it like difficult times, great times? What?
Usually the pride, especially when you're picking good lines like Omar did.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I don't go back and look at the movies. Each
Ever.
One, not too much. I mean, once in a while, if I'm doing something for a DVD retrospective look back or something like that.
Yeah.
But if I hit it on cable and watch it, I don't really get immersed because I lived with it so closely for so long, and I'm always so much into whatever it is that I'm dealing with
next.
But I always get a great feeling of satisfaction because, you know, highs, lows, you know, arguments, hugs, it's what I love. And so each one of these things has been kind of an adventure that I have great, you know, really fond memories for.
It's so interesting to hear you say that because whenever we are encountering tape of the old days of the Kevin Avin Show, you know, we'll hear something from 10 years ago or 20 years ago. We can't hate it any more than we do because we feel like we would do so much better now.
Yeah.
Do you, as a director, I mean, you've got a lot of new tricks in your bag over the years. Do you look at those movies from 20 years ago, man, I wish I had a shot at that again, or I wish I could have done it differently?
I do. If I'm sitting and if I'm really thinking about it, you know, I definitely will, you know, wince a little here and there and wonder what the hell I was thinking. and technology is making it possible to really take audiences to places in exciting ways, you know, stylistically, emotionally, and I think you can get more of what is in a director's mind, field of, you know, mindscape, out onto the screen than ever before, even in live-action movies. Because of digital technology, because of smaller cameras, because actors are getting better and better, and audiences are more demanding than ever.
Yeah.
And that's great. It just raises the bar for everybody.
Do you have a best Ron Howard movie in your mind? One that you hope people will most remember you for?
I don't. I have a lot, as I said, a lot of love and affection and great memories around a number of them. I definitely think they're, you know, five or six that I'm probably the proudest of, but I never like to cite them because when I do with people, I always leave out the one that, in fact, you know, there was something that really resonated with them. And that's the point is, you know, you tell a story, you discover the themes, you get your collaborators together. I've been working with Brian Grazer all these years on, you know, on ideas and the essence of them. And you get these great actors and you give it everything you've got. And hopefully, you know, it's never going to work for everybody. No movie ever does.
Right.
No TV show ever does. But for the people that it does work for, hopefully it really lands and means something to them.
I mean, you won the Oscar for A Beautiful Mind.
Does
that stand out as just a...
No, that was huge. That was an amazing moment, you know, and I'm incredibly proud. Look, giving awards for, you know, creative endeavors, TV shows, movies, some music, it's, you know, it's dicey.
Yeah,
but it's great for the business. Mm-hmm. And it's a great tradition. And so the Academy Awards have been with us, you know, all my life. I remember the first time that I was involved, I wasn't involved enough to actually be there, but I remember watching on television the movie The Music Man that I was in that was up for Best Picture and a lot of other things. I don't think it won anything. I remember being a little pissed off even then, age six. Man,
it's really
a mad 6-year-old?
Zero? Come on, goose egg? We worked our butts off.
I want to talk. Well, there's so many things we want to cover with you, Mr. Howard, while you're here in studio. The film Inferno, opening up this Friday everywhere, is your latest collaboration with Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Is Tom Hanks everything we want him to be? Because I feel like all we've ever seen of him, you know, even as most recently this past Saturday Night Live, you couldn't see a guy who's more talented or funnier or nicer or a better actor. Is he all of those things in real life too?
Well, have you guys had him in the studio?
We haven't. No.
Well, I mean, he would just not disappoint you. I mean, he's just he's a great guy. Now, you know, he's a lot of things. He's a really bright, complicated guy. He's got ambition, which is one of the reasons he's still working so hard and mm-hmm. so well. I mean, did you guys see Sully, by the way?
Did.
Oh, my God,
I
yes.
know I'm here to plug Inferno.
I did.
But, and I'm very proud of Inferno.
Bridge of Spies as well.
Yeah, but Sully is out. You
Sully,
know,
yeah.
And that's another just great reminder of what a tremendous chameleon-like actor, you know, that he can be. And one of the things that I like the most about Inferno is, in fact, that the mystery this time, the Robert Langdon mystery, the Dan Brown, you know, clue path and all that stuff that's so fun to work with that audiences really, really enjoy. This time, Langdon is really a part of it. He doesn't quite know where he fits in. He's got this eidetic memory. He can remember everything, and which is what makes him so remarkable. But in this instance, he wakes up and he's not sure. He's just kind of lost a portion of his memory, and yet, you know, so he has to sort of regain that as he's moving through the clue path and trying to figure out, you know, where he is in the middle of this mystery. And it's also, you know, it's just the whole thing is more personal this time for him.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't read the book because reading is for losers, but my understanding is that this is a very different story in that there are people who are going to be rooting for the bad guy because he's making a lot of good points this time around, right?
Dan Brown is really brilliant. He's a little like Robert Langdon, you know, the character that Hanks plays. He manages to keep from getting himself in situations where he's going to get conked on the head and shot at. But he has created a kind of an entertainment genre, which is take a controversial idea, a thought-provoking thing, build it into this mystery clue path, place it in these, you know, amazing locales around the world.
Beautiful.
That are in their own right not only beautiful but also kind of mysterious. They're things that you don't know about them. Mm-hmm. And let it all tumble together in, you know, as the book, it's a page turner. I hope the movies, you know, move along with that kind of pace. And I think Inferno, does more so. This time, it's of the moment because it's about somebody who's trying to launch a plague to manage overpopulation.
Thanks, Ron. We didn't have enough to worry about.
Well, if you haven't thought about that one, then you're not a conspiracy theorist like some of us are.
Oh, I have.
Now, the first one is The Da Vinci Code, Second Angels and Demons. Both great. Are you a fan of that kind of writing or of that author before you take it on as a movie, or do you just then start to devour it?
Well, I initially read Da Vinci Code as a movie possibility.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so it came to us. It was not yet a huge juggernaut of a book.
Which it became. Right.
But it was already on its way to being a bestseller, and people could sort of sense there was a really interesting way of really transporting audiences and entertaining them in a lot of different ways.
Right.
And like Dan told me that one of the reasons that his books sell so well is that they sell in different parts of the bookstore. People,
what does that mean?
Well, they sell in the mystery thriller area.
Okay.
They sell in history. They sell in sometimes in religion with Da Vinci Code or conspiracy, you know, whatever.
See, for me, it would be self-help.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is all about conspiracies. That's my thing.
Well,
self-help.
So the fact is, he's kind of come up with this unusual blend of entertainment values. Ah. And then it's, of course, when you make these movies, you get to go to these places, and you're taking the audience there too, and hopefully in an exciting cinematic way.
Do you get any kind of pushback from people when you deal with controversial issues like climate change or religion, things like that? Do you hear from moviegoers who are ticked off at whatever your take is or whatever the characters do in the movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this controversy is something that everyone relates to a little bit more. Where in the past they've sort of been involved with religion and history and mm-hmm. conspiracies that are ancient and in many ways therefore even more provocative.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a much more modern kind of crisis, and it, as a director, it allowed me to approach this movie in a more contemporary, I think, you know, kind of edgier way, and also because the history element is not about a controversy in the past, but it's about Dante Alighieri, who wrote, you know, the Divine Comedy, which includes the Inferno, which was the first time that he basically defined for Western culture what hell might be like. And then Botticelli painted it, and this sort of began the whole idea of what going to hell could actually be and feel like. And he wrote about it in such detail. So he was not only sort of this amazing, you know, transformative philosopher, but as I read it, I realized, well, he's inventing the modern horror genre, because almost every one of these punishments for the sinners is like a cool thing that we've seen in a movie that we like.
Yep.
And so while we're PG-13, but Langdon is searching Dante clues, Inferno clues, thinking in hellish ways, trying to discover where he fits in and what the problem is, and try to do something about it. So that allowed me as a director to kind of apply some of these images. So, you know, hey, around Halloween, it actually there's a little something for
but
the
Dante,
Halloween.
He left out Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton from his vision of hell. So clearly he didn't see everything coming, right? All right, Ron Howard is here. The film is called Inferno. It opens everywhere this Friday. It looks fantastic, like he do, and we'll have more with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Right now, actor, producer, director Ron Howard in studio with us. Yes. Do not adjust your radio. You heard correctly. Ron Howard is in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new film is called Inferno. It opens up in theaters everywhere this Friday, based on the novel by Dan Brown, of course, starring the great Tom Hanks. The beautiful Felicity Jones is in this movie. Great cast. Ben Foster. Great cast. I mean, I guess that's one of the luxuries of your track record, Ron, and your reputation is that a lot of great actors want to work with you, right?
Well, they know I love them. I began as an actor, and I try to create an environment where they can, you know, they can do their best work. And you know, these are interesting characters, especially this movie, where the relationships and the emotional side of it actually factors into the plot more probably than the previous two. And that may be one of the reasons why I think audiences find the movie even a little more suspenseful and intense. But and it's always interesting for me as an American because these are really international movies.
Right.
You know, Ben Foster's American. The character wasn't written to be American in the book, but I just had a chance to work with Ben Foster. I thought, you know, he'd be great in the role, and he killed it. But you know, usually Hanks is the only American in there. And so we have Omar Sy, Frenchman. You know, we have Irfan Khan, great international star from India. You've seen him in Life of Pi and Slumdog Millionaire and other movies.
And you do that on purpose?
Definitely.
Because of?
Well, it's the nature of the book.
Yeah.
And these are global stories.
Where did you get to film this time?
We filmed a little bit in Istanbul, quite a bit in Venice. And then we were in Florence a lot. And then we also – Budapest is not a city in the movie, but it's a great European film center. And so we just went there because they had great studios and other things.
When you're walking around on the streets of Istanbul, do you get recognized?
Well, only if there's some Americans floating around.
Really?
Happy Days wasn't big in Turkey?
doesn't look like he did it. Happy Days.
Yes, he does. Who are you kidding?
I think it was there, but I just don't think it's still in syndication like it is here.
Oh, I see. I gotcha.
You know, it's amazing with the Andy Griffith Show and Happy Days when I see that they're still, you know, they're still on daily. You know, Italy. They recognize me because of Henry as Fonz, Arthur Fonzarelli.
He was
a national hero over there still.
He's a national hero everywhere.
A nice Jewish guy from New York, but to them, and there I'm not Richie, I'm Ricky. Ricky Cunningham. Ricky. Come this way.
Because you were dubbed. Because you were overdubbed on the episodes. Right?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
You spent 15 years of your life as a young person on television.
Yeah.
And then you didn't walk away from acting, but you certainly scaled way back. Do you ever miss it, Ron?
Well, every once in a while, when the pressure's on, you're shooting outdoors, you're shooting in one of these intense locations with a lot of extras, a lot of variables that you can't control, and then suddenly the clouds boil up, and the assistant director and everybody's saying, okay, it looks like it's going to storm, what should we be shooting? Well, should we just get it going? And suddenly, you know, your mind is spinning, and the actors turn around and go off to the dressing rooms, and I sometimes think, man, if I just got myself a good hairpiece, I might be able to be in their shoes right about now.
You don't have to worry about all those questions. Oh, that's pretty sweet.
You starred in one of my 10 favorite movies of all time, American Graffiti, a movie that I still probably watch once a year. I love it so much.
You.
It's George Lucas directed. And the only reason I bring it up now is to ask, is it true, a rumor that I heard, that at one point George Lucas came to you about directing a Star Wars movie?
Well, he mentioned it in passing when I was doing Willow, which he produced, and it was for his company. And at that time, he felt like that digital technology was just beginning to take shape. And he said, you know, in a few years, I think I'm finally going to be able to get my vision of what the Star Wars universe, what the galaxy is all about, and I'm going to want to make three more. And he said, I'd kind of like you to do one and Steven Spielberg to do one and Bob Zemeckis to do one. What do you think?
That's pretty good company.
I think we all said the same thing, which is, George, no one wants to follow your act. You should do them. And he did direct them.
Was there a part of you that was screaming yes, yes, yes?
Well, not
or just too much pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure. And by that time, I was really involved in Imagine Entertainment and really committed to that.
Ron, you have the opportunity. I mean, you're the top of almost anyone's list to get a director on board. There must be projects that you looked at and didn't get it or didn't see it, and you passed on it, and then a great movie came out of it from somebody else, and you kind of regretted it.
A few. Not too many. Not too many. But
you got a pretty good track record of being able to pick the right ones.
Huh? Yeah, but I mean, it's always a frustration, but that is a great part about being with a company like Imagine, because some of our movies began as things that I was considering directing. And for scheduling reasons or something else, I didn't wind up directing them, and they wound up being, you know, good movies that our company got to make. But sure, you know, there've been some good ones that got away. I had a good look at a good long look and think about Field of Dreams, which is a movie that I just love.
Is that right?
Yeah. Love that movie, and I didn't wind up doing that. But Phil Robinson did a brilliant job.
It did all right.
Yeah, he did a great job. I mean, it's a classic.
It's an okay movie.
Yeah.
If that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, you look over your resume and you've worked with, you know, with everybody, it seems like. You know, everybody from Russell Crowe to Jay-Z. I mean, is there somebody out there that's still on your wish list that you can't wait to get in a film?
Look, there are so many talented people and from various generations. I'm kind of in the middle there, but I, you know, there's some pretty amazing people in their 20s and 30s, men and women, who are just doing great, great work. And you know, and it's you. It's one thing you see them in the superhero movies. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, they're great. But you know, I would love to find, you know, the sort of Frost Nixon or Beautiful Mind that would work in that way. Like, I love the movie, you know, American Hustle for that reason. You know, just great young cast.
Have you heard of this young Bryce, I think is her name, Bryce Dallas Howard?
She's pretty good.
Very good. She's in Black Mirror right now.
Boy, that is unbelievable in Black Mirror. I'm very proud of my daughter, Bryce. She's doing great.
That's his daughter, for those of you that don't know.
And she's also directing too when she can. And also, you know, she's a great mom.
How terrifying was it to have a daughter want to go into show business, knowing what you know about show business?
Well, it would have been something I would have tried to discourage. I didn't, certainly never encouraged it.
Right.
But for Bryce, two things. One, I could see early on that what she loved was the right thing. She loved the process. Mm. Whether it was the school play, she loved rehearsal. She ran to rehearsal. She would work on it on her own, you know. And so that's a lot different from somebody who dreams of the red carpet and flash
bulbs.
In it for the right reasons. So I felt like that would be, you know, and then, you know, she... Even as a kid in you know, junior high and high school, it was a little bit like going to a high school basketball game and seeing somebody that you know could get drafted into the NBA. You know, I mean, she just always has had that, and she loves it. She really loves it. Loves it for the right reason. I did not realize, even though I grew up in it, I think of myself as very sort of level pro woman, you know, and all of it, sensitive to all the issues. I had no idea how much tougher the business actually is on women than men to excel and to
The whole time you were in show business, you didn't realize that.
I didn't realize
that until
I could see her navigating her career without any great traumas or anything. But I could just see that, man, it's there's an extra measure of work entailed, and expectations are different. You know,
interesting. Well, you sound like a proud papa. And
I am.
Well deserved.
Well, I'm happy for her. You know, and by the way, the Black Mirror is it's stunning. It's disturbing. I watched it with her. And, you know, it's not because there's any nudity or anything, but I mean, it's bizarre to sit there next to your daughter, smiling, happy, watching this thing, and this story, you know, it's kind of comical in times. It's kind of a black comedy, brilliantly directed by Joe Wright, but it's intense, and those Black Mirrors are intense, and they're cool. I'm very proud of her. Yeah.
Ron Howard is here. We got time for one more segment when we return. The film, by the way, is called Inferno. We'll talk some more about that along with a bunch of other stuff. The film's coming out on Friday. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Ron Howard, you dressing up for Halloween this year?
Oh, man.
It's Monday.
Yeah, it's Monday. Yeah. Probably. Now that you mention it.
I can see that you put a lot of thought into it.
Jock strap and a cowboy hat, does that work?
Wow. That's
absolutely
not where I thought it would go.
I'll have to change mine then, but okay. That's fine.
Ron Howard is our guest. His new film is called Inferno, in theaters everywhere this Friday. You love the Angels and Demons, and you love the Da Vinci Code. Now go see Inferno. Your star, Tom Hanks, hosted SNL this weekend.
Yes, he did.
And you knew I had to ask about this. Comes out, and he's playing a character who hosts a pet video show.
Right.
You know, bloopers of cats and things like that. But for some unexplained reason, he's playing you, Ron Howard, hosting a show. It makes no sense, but here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
Hey, it's me. It's Ron Howard. How cool is that? I know you're probably asking yourself, hey, why the heck am I hosting a pet blooper show? Well, it's simple. Pet bloopers just make me giggle. You know, I can use a good laugh after working all day with laughter like down there. I love Tom Hanks, but what a pain in the ass. Okay, all right.
Now, he heard that from somewhere, Ron. What happened there? What's the story?
I really don't know. Look, Tom is a multifaceted, talented guy. I don't think he could make a living as an impressionist.
Did you know that was coming, Sam?
Yeah, I did. Because every once in a while he breaks that out on a talk show or does it on the set. Ah. And he warned me. He said, brace yourself. I'm determined to do an entire sketch as you. And so I thought it was flattering and funny. And as he was in that whole show. But once in a while I will now find myself, because he is picking up on some things I naturally
right
do.
There.
Like I'm waving like right now. I'm talking with my hands.
Right.
I will find myself giving him a direction, particularly at a moment where I'm kind of excited. We're trying to maybe having a breakthrough with the scene or there's some pressure, time pressure or whatever. And I'm sure my voice goes up and my hands are moving. But I now find myself exaggerating it a little bit. And for some – intuitively, I'm doing – him doing me.
You're doing an impression
talking
of
to him.
Yes.
And it's a really so – talk meta about Black Mirror. I mean, I
he's
feel
messing
like
you up.
He's a
but
great,
Ron,
great guy. Great
imagine fan. The balls Ron Howard has to have to tell – to give Tom Hanks notes, to tell Tom Hanks how to act. I mean, seriously.
Well, you don't have to tell him much, let's be honest. But and when you bring Tom in, you're getting a great collaborator. He's a world-class writer. He's an award-winning producer. He's a director of talent and of course, great actor. But above all, and I learned this very, very early on in my directing career and even acting, working with greats like, you know, John Wayne or Jimmy Stewart, the best actors want to be directed. They're there to solve the scene. They want to maximize it. It's not about making it easier.
So it's not just leave me alone and
no,
do my thing.
No, it's work ethic. And in the way when you hear about the great athletes training and they outwork everybody, so do the finest screen actors.
That's why does that happen? I always wondered that because, you know, Kobe Bryant, for example, with the Lakers, he would practice more than everybody else. And yeah. I would always think, why wouldn't everybody else see that and realize yeah. that they need to be out yeah. there practicing more? It yeah. just doesn't translate. Though, does
well,
it?
There's just, there's a fire in the belly and a belief that will pay off. You know, if you're whatever you're doing that's not fun but is for a purpose, you know, you have to actually believe it. You know, it means something.
Is Tom Hanks a guarantee for you, and are you a guarantee for him as far as working together?
No, I mean, there have been projects I've brought to Tom and projects Tom's company and you know, have brought to me where we just didn't feel that it fit. In fact, we're not under contract
to
do the Dan Brown movies.
Okay.
So each and every time,
oh,
it's
wow.
a question of reading it, believing in the story that's in the book and its cinematic possibilities, getting it developed, getting a screenwriter. In this case, it was David Koepp who came in, and then evaluating it. You know, what does this mean as a movie? Because
wow.
for me, you know, it's a year and a half of my life, and it's a big chunk of Tom's, and we're going to be out there talking about it and encouraging people to go. So,
and you don't even consider it a franchise, right? You look at each movie individually.
Yeah, we do. We do. Although, you know, and you know, it's so important to mention, I'm glad, that you don't have to have seen the previous movies to know what's going on and follow this movie.
But you should.
Well, if you, at some point.
If
you have, thank you. If you have, of course, what you really get to follow is, you know, like Indiana Jones or, a little bit Bond. It's a different tone and a different style, but you do get to follow this fantastic performance that Tom Hanks gives. He loves playing Robert Langdon.
Great.
You know,
does he love walking around with that hair when he's not filming?
He's got different hair in different Robert Langdon movies. We got
okay,
chastised
right.
a little bit for the first one.
Let me ask you really quickly about conspiracies, because obviously this one, it might be something that could possibly happen. Mm-hmm. Do you ever delve into, say, the Alex Jones type of thing? Or do you just go, okay, that's too whacked?
Well, that's pretty out there.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, yeah, the answer would be, I mean, I haven't that, the Alex Jones, mm-hmm. but I... You know, but I would, you know, conspiracies are interesting. They're thought-provoking.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, whatever the audience's position is, you know, they're being forced to kind of engage. Like, what do I think?
Right.
Nonsense, mm-hmm. or that's really scary, or what? And then you get to see characters interact with that, and then us and the audience get to say, well, oh, I'm with him. I'm mm-hmm. with her. I see it their way.
Yeah, you'll never be with Alex Jones.
No,
trust
okay.
me.
No.
You'll pure never see comedy it his way. To watch. Yeah. It's amazing.
By the way, who can trust Ron Howard when he was behind that hoax about man going into space, too, with that Apollo
right?
PBS movie?
Not positive. That was a fake.
You know, listen, we are told we have 1 minute left with the great Ron Howard here on the Kevin Bean Show, so I just want to say two things. One is everybody go see Inferno in theaters this Friday. It looks great. It looks excellent, as they all are. And secondly, how about a quick hit for your movie that's currently on Hulu, coming out on DVD in a few weeks, called 8 Days a Week, The Touring Years. This is the most recent project before Inferno. A labor of love for you, right, Ron?
Yeah, well, about the Beatles and only their touring years, which what I found in it, and it's only my second documentary, but I found that there's a really great adventure story there. It's almost a survival story. These young guys, they had to bond together in a particular way, and while they're going on this gauntlet, the 60s are happening, revolts, revolutions, they get sucked into the center of it. So it's not only about being the most popular, you know, band ever. It's also about navigating those particular times, and you learn a lot about the guys. And we had the good fortune of being able to interview, you know, Paul and Ringo, and I think their perspective on it is very interesting.
It's a fascinating documentary.
Yeah,
you
thank
guys.
You. Please, I really learned a lot making it. Thank you.
And now you're friends with Paul McCartney, right?
Well, friends. I think he'd nod in my direction if I saw him. They were very happy with the project, which of course meant the world to me.
Well, it's excellent work, Ron. What a thrill to have you on the show. All these years, we've been such fans of yours. It's so nice to finally get a chance to sit down. Please come back and see us again, won't you?
We'll do. Thank you.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. One thing, real quick. Somebody just tweeted that they were glad to hear that Ron Howard, as successful as he is and has been, was not pompous
at all.
The nicest guy in the world.
And I want to say same. Nicest guy on earth ever.
Humble.
Everything you'd hope he would be.
Yes.
He surpassed that.
That and guy is so successful, and he didn't look at us like we were less than him, even 1%, and he should have.
Yeah. He should have. He would have been okay doing it.
He would have been correct.
Look, when you're impressive. When you're mother effing Opie from the Andy Griffith Show, you're allowed to be entitled, and he's
right?
not. So that just
is amazing.
I miss the Ron Howard times, I'll tell you that. I already miss those days.
But Kevin, honestly,
yes.
How proud were you that neither Bean nor I brought up Happy Days?
I was very happy.
Because we wanted to.
I know you did.
Could have
done a whole other hour on Happy Days.
We were under time constraints, and I'm happy that that didn't happen.
It is a Friday morning. We'll talk to our friend Petros Papadakis about USC-UCLA, the big game coming up this weekend just after 8 o'clock. Then funny man Brad Williams will be here. Ralph, you're in a little bit early for the showbiz beat. What's
going on? Well, because last night, of course, was one of the biggest nights in show business.
Oh.
And so we didn't have time to cover all of this in the showbiz beat, so I wanted to touch base on, what everybody's talking about today before
well,
we get
what did
get
I miss? I feel like I'm pretty up to speed.
It's award season, of course, coming up beginning of next year. And January 21st of 2017 is the night where all the stars turn out.
January 21st?
That's not the Oscars? That's not the Golden Globes?
No.
Neither
of those meaningless awards?
Not the New York Critics Awards?
No.
I'm trying to think. What am I missing here?
The AVNs.
Oh, the
AVN Awards.
Oh, the kids love the AVNs.
The Oscars of porn. The Oscars of porn will be given out on January 21st.
So exciting.
Next year, it's Hollywood's biggest night. And
they've made the announcements?
They just released the list of nominees last night.
Oh,
so all of show business is a Twitter about the nominees this morning. Some shocks, some snubs.
Sure.
There's so many
Maggie
categories.
Maggie Smith got nominated again?
No, she did not get nominated this year. So many categories, so many things to talk about. I can't get to them all, but I do want to talk about some of the more, I want to use my expertise to try to give you and some insight, you know, because everybody has their pools, you know, when they watch the AVNs. Everybody at the party gets a pool, and you have to try to guess who's going to win each category.
Right.
So I wanted to give some tips to some people. I mean, there's so many difficult categories this year that we need to take a look at.
How do you pick, right?
How do you pick? And now, some of the bigger categories are pretty much a slam dunk. I think for Female Performer of the Year, I think it's just a two-way race, really, between Gillian Jansen and Megan Rain. That's my opinion.
Okay.
But you could have to pick your favorite for that. But there are some of the deeper categories that I think absolutely require you to take a long, hard look at some of these films to really get a to get an idea who's going to take home the
How AVN. Long and how hard?
Well, you know, depends.
Okay.
How much have you had to drink? Let's start with Best Art Direction. Oh, this is a great category.
Best Art Direction.
Mm-hmm. The three breakouts I see in this category, there's about 15 nominees here.
Wow.
I think Cindy, Queen of Hell, I think that film absolutely had some brilliant art direction in it.
Okay.
Huh. I didn't notice.
I think Sex Bots also was very impressive.
Sure.
And Heartbreaker versus Obscura Lesbian Superheroes, I think, also had some very impressive
that sounds
art
terrible.
Direction. So I, if you're gonna wager on that category, I would look at
okay.
those three.
All right.
Best all-girl group sex scene. You have to look at Violation of Piper Perry, right?
Sure.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
Lesbi Roommates, I think, also has a lot of buzz
right.
about it. And Lesbian Landlord, also very popular. A lot of buzz there, too.
Sure.
A lot of buzzing coming from that whole category. A lot of buzzing sounds.
Interesting.
I don't know why. Mm. There's so much buzzing there.
Not sure either.
Yeah. Best Gonzo movie.
This is Gonzo.
And again, a three-way race, I think, between The Babysitter's Point of View, Texas Hoedown. And Danger Ass. I think Danger Ass might be my pick for Best Gonzo Movie.
Danger Ass.
Best Comedy
I'm sorry,
this year.
Did you say Best Comedy?
You heard me.
That's what you want in your porn,
and we're
Kevin?
Talking about porn?
The nominees for Best Comedy this year. I think you got to think maybe Slutty Mom. That was hilarious. That was a very funny film.
That wasn't Madea's Slutty Mom.
No,
this is
Slutty Mom.
Okay, very
right.
different.
Amish Girls. Amish Girls I thought was very funny. But my personal favorite, and this category comes down to just what made you laugh hardest, Three Hole Punch. made me laugh the most. Best ethnic movie. That's the thing I like about the AVNs. They are very diverse. It's not a white boys club,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it comes to, or a white girls club for that matter. A lot of diverse performers in this industry. Best ethnic movie. I got to think Made in Asia was pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy Senorita's 13.
Yeah.
Of all 13 of them, I think this really was the best.
It's crazy that they're peaking so late in the series.
And, of course, Asian Strip Mall Massage 2, I think, was pretty strong. Best interracial movie. Watching My Mommy Go Black 14.
Now, do I have to watch the first 13 to get that one?
No,
okay,
no.
All right.
They really do a great job of That's keeping good. You up to date in terms of the storyline. Straight Out of Chatsworth, I think, was also strong for the interracial movie category.
Sure.
But my personal favorite this year, Bangin' Daddy in the Caddy. Best Specialty Movie.
Oh, wow, there are a lot of categories.
Yeah. Internally Yours 8. I thought that was pretty strong.
Okay.
Squirtaholic, of course.
Well,
come everybody's on. Still talking about I mean, that after they saw it.
That's a shoe.
But again, my personal favorite for Best Specialty Movie. Nursing Home Orgy, Granny's Violin.
No. No, sir. No, sir. No.
No. That is a negative?
Can we say no?
No.
That is no.
You didn't. Did you see it? Did you go
I
to theater
not.
To
I
see
did
that
not
one?
The did kind not. Of thing that I would see.
It was excellent. And lastly, Best Parody. Boy, there were some good parodies this year. I think Storage Whore Orgy, I thought was good. I couldn't really tell what they were parodying, but I liked it. That was pretty strong. Republican candidate wife swap, I thought was also good. I love politics and porn. I love when
really,
those two yep. things mix.
That is the best.
10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles. was another favorite. But really, if I'm voting this year, my vote's going for...
You have to say it, Ralph.
Ralph. What's your favorite of the parody porns up for an AVN this year, Ralph?
My vote would go for How the Grinch Gaped Christmas.
Oh, man.
No, sir. No, sir.
Why do some people tune out?
Those are your AVN nominees.